Parshas Yisro'i is, everyone's familiar with the fact that the high point, what's special about Parshas Yisro'i is the parasha of Matan Torah. Maseres Nadivros, Maimon Har Sinai. And yet, Parshas Yisro'i until Ravi discusses the arrival of Yisro'i to the Machane Yisrael, the meal that he ate with Moshe Rabbeinu going out to greet him, and then the meal that he ate, the karbanos that he brought, and then the etzah that he gave Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint Dayanim. And we know we've learned already again and again and again that such a big thing like the setup of the parsha of Maimon Har Sinai is not going to have not going to be that by coincidence the first part of the parsha talks about Moshe's father-in-law coming, and then right before Matan Torah it discusses a side thing about appointing Dayanim, and then it gets on to the more important things, quote unquote, which is the Aseres Hadibros. Anybody who's learned to understand the diktuk and the greatness of the Seder of the Torah is very, very intrigued by this Hakdama to Maimon Har Sinai, the Parsha of Yisro'i. The name of the whole Parsha is Yisro'i. Even the part of the Aseres Hadibros, the name of the whole thing is Yisro'i. So let's go over the Parsha a little bit with some ha'aras. Even among the Amra that the whole parsha of Yisro'i happened after Matan Torah, then it's mamash shver, the whole thing. Ayishma Yisro'i kayin Midian, and Yisro'i the priest of Midian heard Chayseid Moshe, he was also the father-in-law of Moshe, Eis kol asher asa elaykim l'Moshe l'Yisrael. Everything that Hashem did for Moshe and for Klal Yisrael, Amoy his nation, Ki Haitzi Hashem, as he's from Mitzrayim, that Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So what did Yisrael hear? Mashmu Hashem Ubo, what did Yisrael hear, Rashi asks? Kriyas Yamsuf or Melchemes Amalek. The emphasis, if you look in the Gemara in Zvachim, Rashi's quoting the Gemara in Zvachim, is three shitas there. Two of the shitas, one of them is that it was Matan Torah, according to the Mandama that it was before Matan Torah. Two of the shitas, one says Kriyas Yamsuf and one says Melchemes Amalek. There's nobody that says that he heard both Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. But either way, so Yisrael heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. Everything that Hashem did for Moshe and for Klal Yisrael, his nation, that he took them out of Mitzrayim. So, why can't the pshat be that he heard that he took them out of Mitzrayim? Is that what the pasuk says? What's the question? Mashmu Hashem Uba. Read the rest of the pasuk. Ayishma Yisrael Kayin Midian Chayseid Moshe Es Kol Asher Asa Lekim L'Moshe L'Yisrael Namaki Hayitzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mitzrayim. That's the answer. What's the Mashmu Hashem Uba? So it must be that the pshat is that the pasuk is very lengthy. It should have said, "Vayishma Yisro'i kayin midyan chayisein Moshe ki haitzi Hashem es Yisrael mimizrayim." What does it say? Es kol asher asa aleikim ki haitzi. Why is the pasuk being so lengthy? So it must be saying that Yisro'i heard something else. He heard the Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. It's possible also that it's two different shemas here, right? The beginning of the pasuk says Kol Asher Asa Elokim L'Moshe. The end of the pasuk says Ki Haitzi Hashem Es Yisrael. It's hard to say that's referring to the same thing, because we know that we use different shemas of Hashem when we're referring to different midas that Hashem uses in different instances. So because of the lengthiness of the pasuk, or perhaps because of the Shinai Hashem, So the Chazal knew that there's something else the Yisrael heard. Okay, fine. So Yisrael heard something else. Then what's the end of the pasuk? Yitzi Hashem is Yisrael Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Zu gedayla al kulam. This is the biggest thing. So how come Yisrael didn't come and he heard that? If that's the biggest thing, so then as soon as the Yitzi Hashem happened, the Yisrael should go, I don't understand how to read the first pasuk in the parasha. Some say that the way the Medrash knows that Yisrael heard something else is that Yisrael should have come right away. That's Taka the Raya. That's how Chazal knew. So Gufa Kasha. What's the answer? Why didn't he come? Zugadayla al Kulam. There's another interesting thing in this pasuk, and that is Eis Kol Asher Osa Elikim LeMoisha Uli Yisrael Amoi. Isn't Moisha part of Klal Yisrael? So Rashi has that kasha. And Rashi says, Shoko Moshe Keneged Kol Yisrael. Moshe is equal to the whole Klal Yisrael, which is very, very beautiful. But why do I have to know that on the first pasuk in Parshas Yisrael? L'chaira, any time it talks about anything Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, it could have said for Moshe and for Klal Yisrael. Why is this a good time, right here, at the beginning of Parshas Yisrael? Yisrael heard everything Hashem did for Moshe and for Klal Yisrael. Shokol Moshe Keneged Kol Yisrael. It's interesting, if it's Taka, just in parentheses, if it's going on Kriyas Yamsuf, so then it's Taka interesting that it says L'Moshe Ul Yisrael, because by the Shira was also Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael. Also that differentiation. Okay, let's do another Rashi in the first pasuk. Yisrael, Sheva Shemais Nikru Uloi. Reuel Yeser Yisrael Chayvav Chever Keni Putiel. Yisrael had seven names. Yeser, the name Yeser, which means extra, Al Shem Sheyiter Parsha Achaz Batayra. Because Yisrael made an extra parsha in the Torah. Va'ata Secheze. The parsha of the appointment of the Dayana came from Yisrael. So since there's an added parsha in the Torah, so, therefore his name became Yeser, addition. Yeser means addition. So his name was addition, because a parasha was added to the Torah. And we forget sometimes what we're talking about over here. The Torah was Kadma La'ilam. The Torah existed in its entirety before the world was created. The Torah is Kutshabarichah Va'irai Sochatim. The Torah is the full expression of the Das of Hashem. There was something left out of the Torah that Yisrael had to do with an amendment. Yisrael made an amendment to the Torah. Therefore his name was amendment. What does it mean that the parasha was added onto the Torah? The Torah wasn't perfect. Yisrael came along and perfected it. Okay, let's read on. So Yisrael heard these things. So Yisrael was called into action. Vayikach Yisrael chayseg Moshe tzipayra eishas Moshe achar shiluchel. Yisrael took Moshe Rabbeinu's wife. V'es shnei voneo, es shem ho'echad ger shayim ki omar ger ha'yisi be'eretz nochriya. V'es shem ho'echad Eliezer ki elikei ovi be'ezri v'yatzileni mecherev paroi. Eliezer, I understand why it says why his name is Eliezer, because it didn't say that yet in the Torah. But Gershom, it already says in Parshas Shemois that he had a son, Gershom, Ki Amar Gero Yisi Beretz Nachria. It's a little repetitive. What's the point of repeating it here? And Yisrael came to, with Moshe's sons and his wife to Moshe, and he sent a message. The Ramban says it was a letter. Rashi says, I think Rashi says it was a message. Al yidei shliach. The Ramban says Shalach lehadavah biigeres. Either it was a letter or a shliach. Come out to greet me. Ani chaysencha Yisrael bo elecha veishtecha ushnei vonecha ima. And Rashi says he wanted Moshe to come out to greet him. If you're not going to come in my schus, say beginishtecha, come out to greet me. How odd. Yisrael is coming to be Megayer. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech of Klal Yisrael. And Yisrael wants Moshe Rabbeinu to make a parade for him. What did he want? What did he want Moshe to come out to him, to greet him? What does that mean? So Moshe Taka went out. Vayetzi Moshe lekras choisne, vayishtacho, vayishakloi, vayishalu ishlo reyeu lishalem, vayavoyu vayoyelo. And Moshe started to tell Yisrael all the things that happened. Kol Nishras Hashem Lo Paro Yulim Mitzrayim Al Oides Yisrael Es Kol Atelo Hashem Mitzor Sam Baderach. Yisrael was very happy. Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzu Laschem Yad Mitzrayim. And then the next day, according to some, was the day after Yom Kippur. The next day, Vahimi Malcharos, Moshe sat down to be shofet. I'm not going to get into the technicalities over here, exactly what Moshe was doing, what Yisrael saw, what Yisrael thought. But the truth was, but there's, if you look at the Farshim, you'll see it's not as, it's more than meets the eye. But Yisrael had the impression that what Moshe was doing wasn't very practical, because Novel, Tibo, Gam Hata, Gam Ha'om, and you're going to be worn out, you're not going to be able to be sustained like this. So, L'cha Iyatzcha, I'm going to give you an Eitzah. I'm going to give you an Eitzah. Omar Loi, Rashi says, Tzei Himolech B'Gvura. Go out and ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, his opinion. Himolech means to ask advice from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So, my Rosh Hashiva asked, where should he go out from? Tzei, go out. Himolech B'Gvura. It's not like Mitzrayim that he has time to go out to talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Go out of where? What's the tse? Go out of what? It's the Rashi and Pasuk Yates. And then comes the Eitzah, and Taka the Rabbeinu Shlom is Maskim, and Moshe Rabbeinu institutes this Eitzah. We talked last week about the fact that when Yidden are in Golos, part of the reason that they're in Golos amongst the Goyim is to bring the Kedusha that's hidden between the cracks amongst Goyim and to bring it back to Klal Yisrael. That's the Golos Mahalach of perfecting the world. The Yidden Nebuch have to go into the countries of the Goyim and to bring out the like Golo Yisrael, Elo Lagayr Lahem Geir, Jitaisu Lahem Geir. But the Svarim say that it was what would be if the Yidden wouldn't have gone into Golos, then there would be no Geirim. There would be no, the Kedusha wouldn't have come to Klal Yisrael. The Svarim say that it would be different. If there hadn't been Golos, the Klal Yisrael would be in the Eretz Yisrael, in the Makam HaMikdash, doing what they're supposed to do. The force of their Avodah would be so strong in the world that they would be like a magnet pulling everyone towards them. Like the Navi Yeshaya says, "V'noharu elav kol agoyim," that all the goyim will flow to Yerushalayim. Flow like a river flowing backwards, flowing upwards. Because when Klal Yisrael are serving Hashem properly, the Kedusha and the beauty of that Kedusha, the pe'er of that Kedusha, the covet of that Kedusha is so powerful, has such an effect, that it's mamish like an Evan Shayevis, like a magnet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mayrid the Torah into the world, so you read it. It was Yerida. Vayered Hashem on Har Sinai. Hashem had a Yerida. Hashem lowered himself to bring the Torah into this world. What was the point of lowering himself? What was the Kavod Shemayim that was going to come out of that Yerida? The Kavod Shemayim is that the Torah is humbly brought into such a low physical world so that it should have the effect of electrifying the world, of bringing the whole world closer to Hashem, of being mala the whole world with the Torah. That's the tachlis of bringing the Torah into this world. So that even this low world should have an aliyah. Not just the Shemayim, which is completely kadosh, HaShemayim Misafrim Kavayit Kel, should have the kavod, but even this world, which is not on the surface, Misafrim Kavayit Kel, the Torah should come down into this world and bring it to life. That's why the Hakdama to Kabbalah HaTorah is the parasha of a Geirus. And this Ger, it's one Ger, Yisrael. But this Ger is a Ger that was a Kohen, he was a priest, and Chazal tell us that he went to every single Avodah Zarah in the world. He was an agent, he represented every Avodah Zarah in the world. But the end of the story was that he was Niskara to Yiddishkeit. That's a mashal for the whole purpose of Matan Torah. The whole purpose of Matan Torah is that it should create such a powerful effect that every davar nafal, every thing that's fallen, that's distant, that's rachek, should be niskariv and nisala and niskadish through Kabbalah Satayra. The MS is that what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be for the world, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was for Klal Yisrael. The world is a circle within a circle within a circle. Moshe Rabbeinu is Shokol Keneged Kol Yisrael. What that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, this is, you know, we makabel from generations before us, that it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the pnimius of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was what breathes life into Klal Yisrael. Just like a person's neshama is what provides the life for his guf to stay alive, the neshama of the guf of the whole Klal Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who gives them the Torah. He's their connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He's the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means that Shokol Moshe Keneged Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gave life to every single yid. So he must have been Shokol Keneged Kol Yisrael. He had there's Lamashal, we asked the Rabbeinu Shalom B'sein Chalkeinu B'Zayir Asecha to give us our Chalak in Torah. And we've learned, and the Mefarshim teach us, that every single Yid has his Chalak in Torah. There's a specific Chalak in Torah for every single Yid. Who gave us our Chalak in Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means that Moshe Rabbeinu must have had a Yad, a Tfisa, in every single Yid's Torah. Shokol Keneged Kol Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the neshama of the whole world. Everything's relative. What's in terms of the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael is the guf, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the neshama. In terms of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Umas Ha'olam, the Umas Ha'olam are the guf, and Klal Yisrael is the neshama. Klal Yisrael is what brings the Chiyas out to the Lumasa Eilam, to the rest of the world. Chiyas means life. Just like we find that Moshe is Shakul, Keneged Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake up his Talmidim, and he told them that there was a woman in Mitzrayim who gave birth to 600,000 children. Everyone woke up. And he said, that was Moshe Rabbeinu, Shakul Keneged Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Koyach of 600,000 in him. So too, we know that there are 70 nations, but within Klal Yisrael, we have the number 70 within Klal Yisrael. We have 70 Sanhedrin, 70 Canaan. The Chiyas of 70 nations we have within Klal Yisrael. So here's what happened. Yisrael heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was an incredible thing, that it was possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to come and to take the Yidden out of the Tumah of Mitzrayim. To take the Yidden out of the Golos, out of the Shibud, the Ruchni Yistigah Shibud, and the Gashmi Yistigah Shibud of Mitzrayim. It's an incredible thing. But who says that means that Goyim could be moved to become Ovdei Hashem? That even Goyim could come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? That the power of the Kedusha is so strong that it even attracts Goyim. That Yisrael didn't know. But when Kriyas Yamsuf happened, what did the Psukim tell us by Kriyas Yamsuf? Shamu Amim Yirgozim. Chil Ochaz Yeshrei Piloshes. Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edoim. Eilei Moyav Yerchazei Moyroa. No Moyigu Kol Yeshrei Chanan. Tipol Aleim Emosav Afachat. The power of Kriyas Yamsuf affected every Ummah and every Goy. It doesn't say that about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But it says specifically in the Psukim, in the Shira, that the power, whatever it is, whatever is different about Kriyas Yamsuf, but the power of Kriyas Yamsuf affected every single Goyish nation. Tipol aleihem emosav afachat. They became Yirei Shamayim. Yirei Shamayim was mizdabek. They were attached to Yirei Shamayim. They had a tfisa of what it means to be afraid of Hashem. So that, when Yisrael heard that, he realized that the power of Klal Yisrael is powerful enough that it can even draw in from the Olam that's outside of them. Amalek came and jumped into an Ambatia Reisachas, the Chazal say. Amalek came in and jumped into the boiling hot tub and cooled it off for everyone. The power of the Yiras Shamayim that Kriyas Yamsuf created was diluted by Amalek coming to start up with Klal Yisrael. But when Moshe Rabbeinu, with his Vayhi Yadav Emuna, with his hands, when he destroyed Amalek, when Yeshua and his men destroyed Amalek, it restored the Yira, the Pachad, that had existed before Amalek came. It restored the damage that Amalek caused. At least to a certain extent. So the power of Kriyas Yamsuf was still able to have an effect. And that's why it's not really a steer between the Manda Omer that says that it was Kriyas Yamsuf that he heard, or the Manda Omer that he heard that it was Melchemes Amalek that he heard. It's the same thing. Melchemes Amalek was the refuah for the Makkah that caused Kriyas Yamsuf to stop being effective. The Rashi could say, Mashmosh Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. Each man d'omer, whichever point they considered to be the ikker point or what they were focusing on. It's not exclusive. He heard both. I have to just say as footnote. Chazal tell us, let's tako pesi yarim, hit the let's, and the fool will become smart. The let's won't become smart, but the fool will become smart. And it says, let's tako, that's Amalek. Amalek is considered a let's. Upesi yarim, that's Yisrael. And he heard of Mechemes Amalek, and he came. It seems to me that it's not a coincidence that he uses the word yarim, which is the lashon of arum, clever. Because we learned once that we mentioned this many times, the Chazal say La'olam yehi adam arum ve'ira. A person should be clever in his yiras shamayim. And we said that the word arum, that cleverness, was first said by the nachash. The nachash hayi arum yikol chaya sa'aretz. The nachash was clever, was tricky. And we learned that after the nachash succeeded in making us do the chet, the way that we battle the nachash, the way that we fight the nachash, is by taking his own midah and using it against him. Also be clever. We're gonna be sneaky. The Gra says that's why the Yaakov stole the brachas, but with armumius, with trickery. We trick the Yetzer. The Yetzer is very tricky. He's very clever. We have to be very smart. We have to be able to know his every move. So it says v'hanachash hayarum, so lo'elam yehayarum v'yira. And Amalek, as we know, is the spiritual inheritor of the nachash. He's the yirish of the nachash. So let's taka upesi ya'arim. The pesi got lo'elam yehayarum v'yira. And the destruction of the nachash, the pesi got. It says arum by the churban of the nachash. So now we understand the first. That was Stam Foot. Now we understand the first pasuk over here. Yisrael heard as kol asher asa elikim l'maisha liyisrael. What did he hear that made him come? Mashmu Hashama Uba. What did he hear that made him come? He heard the things that affected Umas Ha'olam. Shama Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. Because Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek was the Shamu Amim Yirgazon. It affected Umas Ha'olam. Now that that's true, now he could appreciate and take part in the Shavish of it. Eskol Asher Asa Elikim L'Moshe u'Yisrael amay, to Moshe and to Yisrael, just like Klal Yisrael has the ability to affect, that it should be Shamu Amim Yirgazon, that the Umas Ha'olam will be affected positively, that's what Moshe does for Klal Yisrael. And that's the Shayrish of it. It starts there. It starts with Moshe affecting Klal Yisrael, and then Klal Yisrael affecting the Umas. So Vayishma Yisrael kayin midya chayisim Moshe eskol asher asa elikim L'moshe u'Yisrael amay, that he took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. That's the greatest thing. What do you mean? Why didn't he come when he heard that? Because that didn't affect Goyim. That was an internal thing. That affected Yidden. That wasn't going to bring a Goy to come to be Mizdavik and Klal Yisrael. But once the Goy realized that this has shaychus to him also, then he was able to be makir that the greatest godless is the Aliyah that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. That's the most tremendous, awesome Aliyah. To be tachas the shilton of Mitzrayim and the memtes shari tumah, and to be able to be oiled to the level that Klal Yisrael was at—that's the greatest thing. But since it's about Klal Yisrael, not about Umas Ha'olam, it wasn't able to motivate Yisrael to come. The motivator to come was the thing that happened to Umas Ha'olam. But once he's motivated to come, what's the greatest thing happening here? It's yes, Mitzrayim, the Aliyah of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk reads beautifully through Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzaddik says that Moshe Rabbeinu says Ger Hayisi Be'eretz Nachriya, I was a stranger in a strange land. He says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing in a strange land? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's avodah? He was being Megayer Geirim. He was Mekar of Yisrael. It helped probably that he married his daughter. He was Mekar of Yisrael. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu's job, really. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to be the tzura, the neshama, the seichel of Klal Yisrael. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's job. When Moshe Rabbeinu was being megayer goyim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was what we call in English out of his element. That wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's ikker tafkid. That wasn't his ikker job. It was a davar tzdadi. It was a side thing. That's what Moshe was in a ki ger hayisi. I was a ger. I wasn't a taisho. I wasn't comfortable. I was a stranger. So that's the ad kind of what Rav Tzaddik says. But let's just think now. So why Taka did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that Moshe Rabbeinu should go out to Eretz Nachri and be Megayer Gerim? Why is that the why Taka? That's not Moshe Rabbeinu's Mida. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu's Mida. Why would Rabbi Shalom want that? The only thing I can think of is because Moshe Rabbeinu's role is to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael, and Rabbi Shalom wanted to show Ad Heichan Advar Magi and what the job of Klal Yisrael is, to even affect Goyim. So as a hakdama for Moshe Rabbeinu doing his job as the Nisan HaTorah, as the Makabal HaTorah, Makabal from the Rabbeinu Shalom and Nisan to Klal Yisrael, he spent that time Be'eretz Nachriya, even affecting Gayim. Ger HaYisi Be'eretz Nachriya, like Reb Tzadik says. So according to what we're saying now, that's the whole purpose of the Parashah of Yisrael before the Parashah of Matan Torah. To show the power of Kabbalah HaTorah, that it affects even Gayim Be'eretz Nachriya, so it repeats again, Shem HaEchad, what's the Lashon? Shem HaEchad Ger Shem Ki Omar Ger HaYisi Be'eretz Nachriya, repeats the time that I was a Ger Be'eretz Nachriya and I was out there Be'eretz Nachriya accomplishing the job of bringing even Gayim closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And this even though it's a Yerida for the Torah. So we asked why Yisrael needed a covet, he needed Moshe to come out and greet him. So the Shem Yishmuel brings B'Shem his grandfather. He says Yisrael didn't need Moshe to make a parade for him. He said Yisrael felt that Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high madrega that if he would come to Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't be able to have any kind of aliyah. He's too high. So he was saying, please come out to me. Please lower yourself down. Please come down a little bit from your high madregas and pick me up with you. When he'll go down from his madregas, then he'll be able to be mizdavik in him. Then he explains that when it says Vayavai Ha'ayala, it means that they went up together. This is the parsha that we're talking about now. This is exactly the parsha that we're talking about. Just the Torah makes a Yerida into this world so that it could be Magabiyah, the whole world with it. And that's why we have as the Hakdamah to Kabbalah HaTorah, we have the parsha of Imagayir Ager. And Taka, we find Moshe Rabbeinu making a Yerida towards the Goy to be Mala the Goy with him. Ad Kidei Kach, that calls him Vayishalu Ishla Reyehu L'Shalem, his Reya. And we know that a Reya means there's some kind of connection there. You're not a Reya with an animal. You're not a Reya with something that's completely detached from you. Reyacha means there's a connection there. That through Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisrael had a tremendous Aliyah. I wonder if that's the what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael. Yisrael had already heard about Tzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Kabbalah Satayrif had happened and Lachemes Amalek. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was being Makar of Yisrael, the Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was being, oh, Rashi says, by Yisaper Moshe Lachoisnei Lim Shoiches Libay Lakarvay Latayra. Moshe Rabbeinu was spending time with Yisrael to be Makar of him Latayra. What did he tell him? By Yisaper Moshe Lachoisnei Eskol Asher Osa Hashem Leparay LeMitzrayim Al Oydeis Yisrael Eskol HaTelah Asher Mitzah Asam Baderech, all the difficulties that they had along the way, by Atzilei Hashem, and Hashem saved them. If not for those difficulties, they would have never seen those Nisim. If Mitzrayim would have never chased after Klal Yisrael, Kriyas Yamsuf would have never happened. If Amalek would have never started up with Klal Yisrael, they would have never witnessed the Chiyad of Shalmai Sha'isai's Melchama. Sometimes the Yerida, the Tzara, the difficulty, the Kaishi, is the catalyst for the greatest aliyah. Just like the Yerida of the Torah into this world is the catalyst for a greater aliyah. Just like the Yerida of Moshe lekras Chosnei is a catalyst for a greater aliyah, the Dibur of Moshe to be Moshe, this Ovid Avodah Zarah, to be Moshe from the Torah, is to tell him, you may have been very, very Yorud. You're very, very low. But sometimes something is very, very Yorud, so that it can be Oila Lamaila and bring up with it even such low Madregas and such terrible things, it can bring it back to Kedusha. It's called Hatalah Hashem Etzotam, and all the difficulties, Vayatzilem Hashem, and Hashem saved us. And all that Hatzalah we would have never had if we hadn't had the Tzara. And then they sat down to eat. Vayikach. Yisrael chayse Moshe oilu zvachem leilakim vayyob ayarim v'chuzikne Yisrael lechol lechem im chayse Moshe. Then they sat down to eat. Why did they sit down to eat? With chayse Moshe lefnehu elakim. Zok Rashi. Mikan shehanen emisuda shetamid hachachamim misubim ba. Someone who's nener from misuda tamid hachachamim are eating by. Ki ilu nene miziv hashchena. And this is again, heimem adorim, this is exactly the parasha that we're talking about. The Talmud Chacham sitting and eating is a Talmud Chacham. That's a Yerida for a Talmud Chacham. When is the Talmud Chacham in a matzav Yerida? When he's sitting and learning, or when he's sitting and eating? When he's sitting and eating, he's being mizdavik with Olam Hazeh. But what does it do? Does it cause the Talmud Chacham to go down, or does it cause the Achila to go up? It's exactly what we're talking about. Just like the Torah goes down to a Gashmiyistik world to bring it up. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to a Gashmiyistik world to bring it up. Just like difficulties happen to Klal Yisrael to bring them greater Giluyim and greater Hatzolus. So to the Kol Anena Misuda Shetamud Chacham is Oichavoy. He's Kilu Nena Miziv Hashchina, because the Achila of a Talmud Chacham, that's the Kedusha of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Achila of a Talmud Chacham is Kulay Kadosh, because he was Eicha to be Nichnas into a Gashmiyistik world and to be Mahapicha, to make it Ruchni. In a certain sense, Geirim don't have the Madrega that Yidden have. If you look carefully at the Rebbe Tzaddik on this week's parasha, you'll see he talks about it. It's a very, 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 very interesting sugya. But in a certain sense, Geirim don't have the Madrega that Yidden have. Yidden HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia on them, Ava She'ina Tluya Bedavar. He's mashpia on them, the his service from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came first. First came the Hisayrus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satayra. And then comes the Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And then comes, as we spoke about it, and then comes the Hisayrus from Klal Yisrael. But first HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashpia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Boicher, Vayar Malikim El Avram, Lech Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Boicher and Klal Yisrael. Shabbarach HaBana Mikol HaAmin. A guy is different. A guy, first he has to find the Rabbani Shalom. Now, by the way, Klal Yisrael, we also have to find the Rabbani Shalom. But first HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, gave us the opportunity. And then we're ma'ala to try to live up to what the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us. A ger is different. A ger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say a word to him. He comes to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom is niskarif to him. So in a certain sense, it's not as the Rebbeinu Shalom is not as giving towards the ger as he is towards the yid. But yet we can't forget what it says in the parasha of Gezel HaGer, that if someone steals from a ger and the ger dies, what do you do with the money? So in the parasha of Gezel HaGer, it says that you should give it to the Kayin, but it doesn't just say you should give it to Kayin, it says you should give it Lashem LaKayin. In other words, the Yerush of the ger is the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Yerush of the ger. Why is that? For the same reason, that's the Chisarot of the ger, that's the Milo of the ger. Is the ger from nowhere, from nothing, from a matzav of yurida, hashpola, of lowliness. He raised himself up to be mizdavik in the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is his yairish. You stole something from a ger, you can give it right back there, just give it to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Lashem, lakaya. So ger represents this concept that sometimes the way of spreading Kedusha, the way of bringing Kirvas Alekim, starts with the Matzav of Yerida. So Yisroi the Ger sees that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to teach Klal Yisrael, to teach Klal Yisrael, to judge Klal Yisrael, to help Klal Yisrael. You see the different Lashonis that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. And he's spending all day doing it. And that's really what's proper. Because there's nobody that can take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Hu Yisrael Amai. There's nobody that can take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what's proper. And in a completely ruchniyistic situation, if we weren't burdened by things like Ashmias, if we were completely neshamas, that would be proper that Moshe Rabbeinu should be giving to Klal Yisrael. But this physical ikuvim here, and that is novel tiba, you're going to get worn out. It's not going to work. It's not practical. You're going to have to take a little bit of a b'dievet in the perfect situation. This I have written down. I missed one Shabbos in Fachadisa when I was a bacha there. I missed one Shabbos there, and my Rosh Hashiva spoke, and I wrote over somebody's notes of what he said, and that's what it says there. Somebody who has a photographic memory. So what Yisrael was saying was, yeah, you have to take the bidyevit so that the Torah could be niskayim, so that the aliyah could happen. You have to take the bidyevit. You have to deal with the gashmias. You have to deal with the reality, the physical reality, that you can't do it. Ad kan from that kiddush, from that. But now according to what we just said, it's dafka v'ger who. The whole inyan that's going on over here is the urida of the Torah into a world of chayshach, so that it could bring art to that world. The ger in his matzav of urida, being a scarf to the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's the one who says sometimes you have to accept the gashmias of the world in order that the Torah could spread properly. So the eitz of atasechas that dafka comes from Yisrael. But there's something much more over here. Oh, and that's why it says, "Say Himalech B'Gavura." Go out of the regular situation. Go out of the purely ruchniyistika situation. And deal with the practical. But there's something very, very, very important, very yisaidistika. It seems like a side thing, like, you know, like almost an imperfection, chas v'shalom, about the Torah, that practically couldn't be niskayim. It's a very, very important thing. Part of the shleimus of the Torah, part of the perfection of the Torah, is that it contains within it a parasha that directs us how the Torah could be mischaber with the physical world. How the Torah could deal with the realities of the physical world. How it could be misparish even in a physical world. That's part of the shleimus of the Torah. But in a certain sense, it's not part of the etzem Torah. It's rather, it's the way the Torah could connect to the physical world. That's what it means, that it's an extra parasha. It doesn't mean that something that the Rosh Hashanah forgot about and was added on later. The idea of an added on parsha, the idea is that besides for the etzem kedushas haTorah and the das of the Torah itself, the Torah also contains a way to bring that into a physical world. An extra parsha. How to attach that to a physical world? You can have a beautiful, beautiful ornament, but it has to come with the structures. How to attach it to the building? Or else you have to keep it in the box. And that comes dafka through the ger, that's the one who's affected by the fact that the Torah goes into the physical world. So you have the ger who's being drawn to Kedusha because the Torah is coming down into a physical world. And he's the one that's machadish the parsha that shows how this mufsha tikat Torah could be nageya in a physical world. This is very, very, very negative for us. Even though we're not going to go be Magaya Gerim, it's very, very negative for us. Because we know that each person, the Olam of each person individually, is a small world. Each person is not a small world. Each person is his own world. It's a big world. Machay v'asodam ve'olamay, in his world. Each person is his own world. And in that world, there's also this Klal Yisrael and Umas Ha'olam. There's the neshama and there's the guf. There's the seichel, and then there's the rest of us. When we say Shamu Amim Yergozu Nechil Achaz Yesh Yiplashas, we mean the Kolashas inside of us also. And that's very important for us to remember when we're getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah, that the purpose, the tachlis of Kabbalah Satorah is not an abstract chachma of learning Torah. And besides that, I also have a life. But that the Torah is supposed to fill our lives and affect our lives and bring us up. And that's really what the whole Chachma of Musar was established for. Trying to take this Torah, which is Rechava Min Hayam, which is so Kaddish, it seems like sometimes almost detached from us, and show us how it could make Mesilos, how it could make pathways and Drachim in the way we run our life, our practical life, in our personal lives, in our own thinking and thoughts and instincts and impulses and feelings, the Torah could sink into all of it. That takes a lot of thought and a lot of work, a person to find the derech that the Torah could affect him, that could actually make an effect on him. A person could learn Torah his entire life, but if he doesn't learn it for this purpose, I'll show you in a minute inside, if he doesn't learn it for this purpose, and if he doesn't learn the limudim that help in this area, the Torah will be a beautiful intellectual exercise for him, and he'll remain a behemoth. Danny gave me this beautiful sefer a few weeks ago. I'm going to quote a few lines from it. He brings the Rabbeinu Yonah. You can look it up yourself. Shar Tshuva, Shar Beis, Chav Vav, Eis Chav Vav. Mizbar b'zeh, ki halev einoi hatachana ha'achroina ba'avoida. The heart is not the last stop of a person's avoida. Not the last stop. Musar haTorah tzorach lihikoled benefesh atzma. The musar of the Torah has to find its place, has to be held by the nefesh itself. Hanu lehofech mahus haAdam, to change the mahus of the person. Lazeh tzorach lehiskaveh mitchila. Unbelievable. For this, a person has to have originally a kavana. It doesn't happen by itself. The person be miskaven. Kaidim kol tzarech la'ayir nafshay. First of all, he person has to be ma'ayir himself, his nefesh. What does it mean to ayir himself? Haynu la'ayir haratzein l'shanois mehusa l'fi mosar ha'tayir. He has to be ma'ayir the desire to change his mahus according to the muster of the Torah. And it's very, something very, very deep in the way he's saying it, because many of us know this in theory, but somewhere in the different levels inside of us, we don't want the Torah to change our lifestyle, because we like our lifestyle. We want to learn all the inyanim of the Torah, but we don't really want to become prushim, because we like being behemoths. We don't really want to become kedoshim, because we're in love with gashmis. It's not what we really want. So the first step is the person has to, this is a big job, it takes a lot of thought. The person has to be ma'or the ratzon that he wants to be mishana ma'usei l'fi mosar ha'tayru u'bekavana zu yasem ha'dvarim ha'liboy. B'li ha'ratzon le'hishtanais v'mahus al yidei mosar yuchlu ha'dvarim le'hikanais b'lei. The words of mosar can enter a person's heart. And a person will enjoy it, a person will play around with it, a person has a good inspiration. After a short amount of time, the Roshan will be erased from his heart. And a person did not change at all from the Musar. This is the answer, or at least one of the answers, or part of the answer, but a lot of people say that he learned Musa for so many years, how could he be this way? Or how could I be this way? What's going on? All the Divrei Chazal that I heard, all the Musa that I heard, what's going on? What's going on is that I wasn't ma'ir myself to want to allow the Musa and the Torah to change me, to change my values, to change my priorities, to change what I enjoy, to change my focus. To take myself out of the center, put the Rabbanu Shalom in the center of my world. But that's the job. Just like the Torah comes down to be makarav, even the furthest guy in any forsaken part of the world, the Torah comes down to bring, to like a magnet, to bring everyone close to Kedusha. The Torah is supposed to do that within us also. And when we're makabel the Torah, when we stand on Shabbos and we listen to the Aseres Hadibros, that the Kabbalah Satayra should be not just that I'm a Kabbalah the Torah, and not just that I'm going to do what the Torah says, but I'm opening myself up to allow the Torah to be in the center, and my whole personality, and all my values and desires and impulses should be mizdavik to the Torah, and should be changed based on the Torah. And that's a big avodah, and something to think about, to be ma'or the ratzon for that to happen. How often do we feel this little something holding us back? That we don't really, we want to change, we want to change, we want to change, but we don't really, really, really want to change. We don't really want to become that Halo Yid. We don't want it so badly. It's frightening for us. It means giving up a lot. So Taka, how we ma'ir the Ratzon? Taka. So there's probably a lot of different drachim, but one thing to think about is that it's a davar pashut, if you think about it, that the true, true, true happiness, which is not dancing, which is not fun, true happiness is that menucha dika feeling of having arrived, being where I want to be, every part of me being miyushev completely, without frustrations and angers and steers inside of me, is when I'll be exactly what I was created to be. If I am exactly what I was created to be, then there's a perfect match between what's going on inside me and the life that I'm leading. It's a perfect match. When you have a hand that fits perfectly into a glove, it feels good. If the hand is too big or too small for the glove, it doesn't feel good. If the life that I'm leading doesn't fit the way my neshama was created, the way my guf was, it doesn't fit well, so I'm not going to feel right. The way we were created is that we're all a tzelem alekim. That's what's going on. We were created, we're all a tzelem alekim. The Yetzer Hara comes and distorts the tzelem. the sooner and the closer we get to bring out the true tzelem elokim that's inside of us, that's when the difficulties are going to stop. That's when we're going to understand what menucha means. That's when we're going to understand what simcha means, what satisfaction means, what kedusha means, that taste of kedusha. And that takes it takes time, I think. It takes time and patience and thinking and motivating to be ma'ir the ratzin that the Torah should affect me. How many people think about this one time in their lives? Do I want the Torah to affect me? We have something inside of us that's rebellious. I'm not sure if a lawyer told this to me or if I saw this in one of the LA shores, but they say that part of the reason sometimes when you find somebody saying Kriya Shema, he closes his eyes for Kriya Shema, and sometimes you see people shuffling very, very, very hard when they say Kriya Shema. It's dafka that the person is uncomfortable with the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. With the long Shema, Yishen Yamayin Gimel, the whole thing. With the whole thing. There's something being murdered, there's something rebelling against it. Oil mouth is trying, the words are not exciting. It's just not exciting. Being the Kabbalah, the oil of mouth is trying. So, the person displays his discomfort sometimes. To have a person be menucha, be simcha, without looking back, with anticipation, be mekabel oil machas ram, because that's his true freedom. That oil. That's what we're talking about. That's, I think, something that we should mull over this Shabbos, of talk of the Shabbos that we hear the Aseret HaDibros.